You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today are Rebecca Escobedo and Chuck Gordon. And they're here to talk about the latest production from the Theater and Dance Department, and it begins officially on April 19th. It'll be at the Wise Family Theater. Thank you very much, Rebecca and Chuck, for being with us here today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And Chuck, you've been here with us before, and you are directing this play, but the star of the play is Rebecca, and this is your first time here. Is that correct, Rebecca?
Yes, this is okay. My first time.
The name of the play is Eurydice.
Yes, there you go. Okay,
and now tell me a little bit about what this is about. It's you said something before the taping started that it was based on a myth.
Yes, it's based on a Greek myth. Essentially, Eurydice is a modern retelling of the myth of Orpheus. He was a demigod, a musician. Eurydice, his wife, steps on a snake and she dies. And Orpheus is so troubled by his loss, he goes to the underworld, makes a deal with Hades. And Hades tells him that he can have her back if he walks out of the underworld, and she'll be walking behind him, but he can't look back at her. If he does look back, she'll be gone forever. She'll disappear. And there are many, many versions. Some end well, some don't. But the play that we're doing here, something that the playwright did that I think is very interesting, A, it's told from Eurydice's perspective, and B, something that she added is that her father is in the underworld, and part of Eurydice's struggle is deciding, besides having to remember and relearn all of these things, she has to decide whether or not to stay with her father in the underworld or go back with Orpheus to life.
First of all, some people might say, you know, that sounds a little bit like the book in the Old Testament, the Bible of Sodom and Gomorrah, where they say that not to look back at Lot's wife, but she looks back anyway. And of course, you know, there are a lot of stories, books, different things out there that kind of have similar themes. But people, as we were discussing this beforehand, are not running to the library to read Greek mythology unless
right.
It's something that they got an assignment for or something like that. So on those terms, Chuck, how difficult or was it to direct something like this, but make it contemporary so that people could understand a little bit more?
Sure. Well, fortunately for us, the script takes care of a lot of that. I mean, Sarah Rule is she's a very new playwright, you know, only in the last really, well, I guess seven, eight years really as she sort of burst onto the American theater scene. And she's got, you know, she's been a finalist for the Pulitzer several times now. So really, her adaptation in and of itself is very contemporary. It's almost, you know, I just did a study guide for this the other day and said that it's more or less a mashup of Greek mythology with Alice in Wonderland with the Theater of the Absurd. I mean,
yeah.
It's a very surrealistic play, but very, very funny. That's a lot of what makes this play palatable. I mean, for those of you know you who've read Greek mythology, while there might be a couple of smiles here and there, it's not really thought of as terribly funny. And this play is. It's very richly funny. Part of that is because she's brought her personal experience to bear on this play, and the myth of Orpheus more or less serves as a metaphor for her own experience and some unresolved things she's got in her life. Her father died when she was fairly young, and so that's one of the issues that she's chosen to wrestle with, filtering it through this Greek myth, more or less. And also, in a great way, it shows us at the same time why these myths are still relevant today, and the fact that they do. They appear throughout our culture in myriad of forms. The Orpheus legend itself has been done so many times artistically. I mean, in music, there are rock songs virtually that are dedicated to the myth of Orpheus. There are there's certainly plays. In the past, Tennessee Williams wrote a play called Orpheus Descending, which is essentially, you know, the same myth. You know, and lots of poems over the years. I mean, it originally began, you know, as far as we know, literarily, we picked it up from Ovid's Metamorphoses, collection of poetry. And then, yeah, it's, you know, Virgil, you know, has a version of it much later. And then, you know, other poets have seized upon it. It's referred to a lot. by contemporary as well as classic poets, playwrights, even painters have dedicated a lot to Orpheus. And you know, but most of them, as Becca so clearly pointed out, tend to focus on Orpheus. He's the main character. And again, in the myth itself, his mourning, his grief is so great that it actually begins to disturb the natural order of things in the world. Stones, trees, all of these things start crying and weeping, and, you know, his sadness is so great. And that's the only reason why Hades goes, look, I'll make a deal with you. Stop this mourning and grieving. I'll give you your wife back. All you've got to do is this. But then, of course, the point of the myth is that he doesn't have the faith. He has to turn around to make sure she's there, and in doing so, she disappears forever.
You mentioned mashups, and there have been quite a few over the last few years of classics, you know, like Pride and Prejudice. Of course, I didn't freak out, but I was like, oh my gosh, you know, because I'm a student of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh,
but
sure.
When they did the vampire hunter,
yes.
It's like, oh no. So what is your take on this as a director and then you, Rebecca, as an actress about doing mashups?
For me...
Because some people are purists, you know.
Right. It has to be in its original form. For me, I'm a very much gray sort of person, not really that it has to be black and white. I like gray areas. So for me, doing a mashup, especially when, I mean, the play itself is written beautifully. Chuck was telling me earlier that Sarah Ruhl had originally wanted to be a poet, and that really comes through in her work. So the way that she created it, I mean, for me, if it's well done, it's well done, especially with this play. I have no idea how she put together something like this. It's just, to me, it makes so much sense. So I think if it's done well, I have no problem with it. There are some mashups that probably should never be put out there for people to see. But this is definitely one that I think is worth experiencing and sharing. And for me, it's just been a blast.
As I mentioned to you all before, myself and one of my colleagues, Dennis Wu, we teach announcing and voice acting, and we're big fans of radio dramas. And we're putting together an episode of Gunsmoke. However, I tell them it's very important that you use your eyes, your hands, even though they can't see you. You are a perfect example, and you're probably the perfect cast and for this part. And Chuck probably knew that, because as you're speaking, you can tell your nonverbal expression, your body language, and the fact that you're talking, you're smiling, and that comes across on the radio, believe it or not. So as far as acting, I would imagine that this is something you probably always have wanted to do and done probably as a child because of your personality.
Well, I've always loved a challenge, and Chuck warned me from the get-go that this would be a challenge. Was it more of a challenge than I anticipated? Yes. But it's a learning experience, and I'm here to learn. And I'm really hoping that I can come out of it stronger. Because for me, I can learn from things here at school that I can take into my personal life. And at the same time, things that I learn in my personal life, I can bring to my work. So for me, it's just... It's so much fun. Do I let myself have fun all the time? No, but I'm learning. It's fun.
I'm glad you brought that up, because some people will say, and even directors will say, you take your work too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You have to relax once in a while. And I had to do that a lot when I was in television news, because I want to focus on my work. However, if someone tells you, you need to relax, you need to take it easy, you're the only one who knows how well you think you're doing. But Chuck may think, yeah, you're doing a great job. But we think, oh, that's awful. I need to that again. We're our hardest critics.
Yes, for sure. There are tons of times where I catch myself self-monitoring, and I have to have that little switch in the back of my head and turn it off, because otherwise I'll go through the entire rehearsal checking in with myself, and then I won't have those truthful moments that Chuck knows I can give.
And so what happens at home? when you're home, do you become Rebecca or do you still stay in character?
There are certain things that I can't help but take home with me, for sure. But I do try to keep it separate. And then also, Eurydice, it's me in those circumstances. So it's not someone totally separate from myself. I just would react to things differently. But for the most part, I feel like I understand her, even though I wouldn't necessarily react to something the way that she does in the play. It's having that understanding. And then, of course, that separation, because, I mean, actors, we're not schizophrenic, or we shouldn't be.
Chuck, Rebecca mentioned that you said it was going to be challenging. Mm. You as a director, I'm sure you have the biggest challenge because you deal with so many personalities, so many moods. Everybody's in a different mood. What was the most challenging part of this play for you?
Well, for me, it was introducing them to a form of theater that they're not necessarily used to. We don't do a lot of what I would call theater of the absurd, which this play pretty much falls into. There's a lot of surrealism involved in the play. And part of it for me is kind of keeping a leash on the vision of the play, which, you know, can get out of hand. I mean, it almost is like a Dali painting in some ways, or a Magritte painting, because some of the images you look at and go, oh, my God, that's so strange yet compelling, but there's something I recognize in there. And that's a lot of what we're doing with this play. And some of the things don't necessarily follow in life logically the way the action unfolds in this show, which is part of the humor of the play also. But again, in approaching that, trying to make students understand that there's still a greater truth underneath that by approaching it this way, a psychological truth as well as a philosophical truth that's still there. It's still like their regular acting, but it's just – it's an extension of it in a way that they're not used to applying it. So teaching them that, it's still a challenge. I mean, we're working on it. Becca's doing a great job, as are, you know, most of the people in the cast. They're really being challenged by it in that sense. So I enjoy working with them and seeing them learn something new. But it's also a challenge for our design team, who are doing an incredible job. The show mashes up projections with, you know, regular – I mean, not regular. It's very unnatural lighting that our lighting designer is having to do. There are special effects, fog. The sound score for the show is very complex. It's technically very challenging on all levels, but also for the actors as well. Integrating all those elements, that's probably the biggest challenge for me.
As far as the audience goes, do we have to warn audience at all as far as like family? Do they need to leave children a certain age at home, or is it for?
No, I mean, oddly enough, that's one of the things that I like about this show is there's no vulgar language. It deals with relationships in a fairly frank manner, but it's not anything that they wouldn't see on network television at this point in time. And, of course, I know for you and I, people of our generation, that means something different than it means for people today.
Yes.
But, no, it's true. I mean, really, it's something that the whole family, I think, can enjoy and appreciate. And even young ones will have fun with certain aspects of the show, I think.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Rebecca Escobedo and Chuck Gordon and talking about the upcoming play Eurydice, and it begins on April 19th, and it's on the 25th, 26th, and 27th, and that's at 8 p.m., and then the 21st and 28th at 2:30 p.m. And Rebecca, if you want to give us perhaps a phone number that they could call for additional information or a webpage?
Sure. For more information, you can call the UTEP box office at 747-5118.
And I guess they could give you the webpage there, or you can type UTEP.
UTEP Department of Theater and Dance. You can look that up on the UTEP website. We're also on Facebook, UTEP Department of Theater and Dance, and there's more information there.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being with us here today. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Elvin Alves. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.